This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
Well, thought we'd start with a bit of a Chelsea mega mix there, kiddo, at the start of the show.
I didn't know where to go. I didn't know whether to be reggified or to be ballad-like. I don't know what to do there.
Love it.
That's me singing on that, you know, in the background, singing, Chelsea, Chelsea, gonna make it a blue day.
Were you with Suggs and all that?
He was the following day. I did the day before because of the writer who sat next to me, a guy called Mike Canaris, and we... he said, we better do all these backing tracks, he said, because I'm not sure the players will be able to sing it properly, which was fair enough, actually.
Yeah.
Because the backing of it was myself, a chap called Sam Blewett, and a couple of other guys. I can't remember.
Oh, there we go. Oh, but, might have to play royalties. Well, maybe not play that one again. I don't know about that one. This, of course, if you haven't already realised, is the Chelsea Fan Show here on Love Sport. Me, Matt Beadle, with the boys from the Chelsea Fancast, Jonathan Kidd.
Whoop, kiddo.
Dave Chidgey will be joining us later in the show. Plenty to come up over the course of the next hour or so. Hakim Ziyech has signed from Ajax. Massive signing in the summer. That one we're going to be looking ahead to, the game with Manchester United coming up. Old boys Nemanja Matic and Juan Mata returning to Stamford Bridge. And Odi Ighalo, will he start? Will he not start? By the looks of Instagram and social media, he is fit as a fiddle. Of course, he's got nothing else really to do at the moment, has he? Because he's not been able to go on that tour with Manchester United due to fears of coronavirus spreading. Ben Parsons, writer for StrettyNews.com, will be joining us later in the show. Just quickly, before we get into all things Chelsea, bit of breaking news at the moment that Manchester City have been banned from European club competition in 2 seasons after being found to have committed serious breaches of UEFA's club licensing and financial fair play regulations. Now, kiddo, you weren't aware of this news before you came into the studio.
I'm astounded. I was agape, wasn't I? I'm intrigued. Does that mean that they'll just miss the place? Whole of England will miss the place. Well, so will that be? There'll be another one available.
We're waiting for confirmation on exactly how this is going to work as to whether the Premier League will be punished. I don't think they will do, because in terms of our coefficient ranking,
we should still
be fine. In which case, this really hots things up for Chelsea, for Spurs, for Sheffield United.
Yeah, and what about the managerial situation
there?
Is he going to leave? What about the whole process of players wanting to play in the Champions League? Will they all ask for transfers? It's a fair kettle of chips. No, what's the expression?
I can't find the expression. It's unlike you, Jonathan Kidd, to not know the expression. But I tell you what, we're going to stick with the fact that it is a fair old kettle of chips. It certainly is a fair old kettle of chips. But huge implications for Manchester City, for players, for Pep Guardiola. Of course, only yesterday was he saying, do you know what? Maybe they could sack me. A bit tongue-in-cheek, but he did say maybe they could sack me. If we don't get into the Champions League, I will have failed. Was he teeing it up, Jonathan Kidd? Is this going to be an easy out for Pep Guardiola if he says, well, look, I'm a Champions League manager, there's no way I can stick with the club?
Well, it looks like it, possibly, if he had an inkling. It's a kettle of fish wouldn't work either, would it, actually? All in all, that wasn't a very good image. I'm intrigued by what that was all about. Perhaps that's been rumbling on for the last few weeks, and perhaps he hasn't therefore been focused on it too much, on the form of the team. There are so many implications behind this. You'd have thought they'll get it reduced to a year, but even then, a year out, or perhaps they won't. Perhaps, I mean, is this all to do with fair play? I don't quite get the implications.
They've got previous, haven't they?
Yeah. I mean,
in 2014, they struck that ridiculous agreement. I was saying to Johnny Burrow from the Posh Boys on Drive earlier that, you know, they struck that agreement to be fined rather than banned.
And how they were able to do that. Well, after Chelsea had been banned by saying, we're going to actually fight this. But it's almost as if they said it's a fair cop, and consequently they were allowed to get away with it. But then why, therefore, have they applied these sanctions upon them as a consequence?
Well, it's interesting, isn't it? Because the emails that have been leaked, that these alleged internal emails that are apparently a cover-up. And Der Spiegel released these, didn't
they?
They
leaked
these last month, covering up true sources of income. Now, this is all to do with FIFA Fair Play, as you mentioned, FFP compliance. There will be an appeal, naturally. This is subject to an appeal to the Court of Arbitration for Sport. The big thing for me, kiddo, amongst all of this, is that with these emails that came out last month, and The Guardian, of course, have been reporting on this, is that City haven't disputed the authenticity of these emails. They've not come out and said, no, that is categorically untrue. They have, in their statement just a few short minutes ago, basically complained about the UEFA chief investigator. And they've said they're disappointed, but they're not surprised by today's announcement. They think that this has all been done before any investigation has properly begun, and that the subsequent flawed and consistently leaked UEFA process that UEFA chief investigator oversaw has meant that there was little doubt in the result that he would deliver.
So in a sense, this is old news, they're saying. That it's just a recapitulation of the
the fact that the statement came out instantly.
But didn't we all feel that there was something odd going on all the time as to how on earth they could afford all these players for that period where they just bought everybody? And meanwhile, Chelsea are worried about financial fair play and are producing accounts saying, no, that one matches that one, it's okay, and we can't buy them and whatever. And that was frequently in the programme, saying, no, due to financial fair play, we're not allowed, we can't buy many players this transfer window. And yet there they were buying. And there was a feeling amongst your average fan that something just wasn't right. And there were supposed deals going on, alleged deals within, you know, they would mask something by doing an accountancy deal by saying, oh no, that's us, that's someone else, and in fact it was just them giving themselves their own sponsorship deal. That was the kind of premise that I heard was going on.
Yeah,
the fact that
they seem to rebuild a defence for around 150 to 200 million pounds in one summer. So, 100%. I mean, everybody always says, don't they, this is a club run by a country. Plenty more to come out on the news that Manchester City have been banned for two seasons from the Champions League. Also fined €30 million. So, give or take a few million, £25 million. But yes,
a drop in the ocean
for Manchester City.
The process of them not earning any money at all. Why, even that's a drop in the ocean as well, but with, as you say, being financed by a small country, but it's still it's not being involved in the Champions League is the main punishment.
Absolutely huge, and like we say, huge implications for the Premier League too. Chelsea currently there, you've got Sheffield United, Manchester United, Everton, Wolves, Spurs, and what for the Europa League? Does this now mean that the team that finished eighth we'll get into the Europa League? So
Burnley.
Yeah, there you go. Back in it. Sean Dyche. Oh, no, not again. I have to go through another short summer. I can't believe it. Yeah. But yeah, plenty more to come out from that. We'll update you on anything as and when it happens throughout the evening here on Love Sport. Right now, as I said at the top, it is the Chelsea fan show. And I tell you what, it's not just breaking news on Manchester City. Our guest here, our ardent Chelsea fan, Jonathan Kidd, has a bit of breaking news too.
Well, I'm on something called The Likely Dads on Radio 4, which is coming up. And it was a conversation between three stand-ups and me all about fatherhood. And it was done in Manchester a couple of months ago. And it's one of six, I think it will be. And this was the first one. This was the pilot. And we were funny enough to get commissioned. So, it was so funny. I've forgotten who they were, the stand-ups. But it's that thing of stand-up wit and mind is so on the ball. I was just completely blown away by these guys. And it was just trying to get in the holes and try and say things about being an elder dad. They were all just talking about fatherhood. I was talking about being ancient and being a dad, which was novel. I think I had a little role to play. But yeah, it's a company called Made in Manchester that produces these things, and they're making five more. And this is the first one of it. And I'm featured on that. There was a lovely little picture in the on Twitter that was doing the rounds as well.
So were you happy to be a comedian yourself?
You have to rely on your wits. You think, when they're talking, I'll wait for it. I'm an actor that way. I wait for moments where I can leap in when there's a silence. You know, I give them their moment, whereas they're just leaping on, they're on top of each other. Oh, yeah, and I know that, and that's going on like this. And, you know, well, I think that's happening like that as well. You know, it's all on top of each other, whereas I'm trying to be a bit more modulated, but just telling tales about my 11-year-old daughter and the ridiculous things she she's got up to in the last 11 years with having a father who just likes doing funny voices. So,
well, big market fatherhood, I tell you what, it is very topical at the moment, the podcast and all sorts about being a dad. So plenty of material to summon.
Yeah, huge amount. In fact, I had it all written down on my iPad, and it was one of those moments where you fail to get them all in. You know, you're just having, you're fighting for the your own moment. But no, it's a very funny show. They're very funny guys doing it. None of whom I'll remember who they are in a minute, and I'll look them up, in fact. But
okay.
But no, it was it's really worth having a listen to that.
Lovely stuff. You can find that on Radio 4.
I'll find the date as well.
Lovely.
I've come in unprepared.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, I sprung it on you. I sprung the Man City news.
Yeah, but that was great because I was agape, as I said. My mouth dropped in amazement.
To move on to news that you are well aware of course, and that is the news that Hakan Ziyech. Now,
well
that
pronounced,
is,
by the way.
Yes, yeah, so Ziyech, not Ziyech, not Ziyech.
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 Yeah, very important. That he's quite harsh on this as well. He wants Chelsea fans to know that it's Ziyech. So make sure when you get those chants going, whatever they may be, Chelsea fans.
Well, somebody's already stuck the Hakim Ziyech song on the Fabregas song. He wears a magic hat. Or somebody's always done that. Mm-hmm. I better see what they've rhymed. Whether they rhymed Ziyech with something.
Yes.
Because it won't work then,
it will not work. Ziyech. And you can't have fans singing out a wrong name because you want him to perform. But first and foremost, Kiddo, your reaction to this news. 26-year-old, we've seen him produce many a decent performance in the Champions League. Of course, that's where we've seen most of his football. He has been brilliant in the Eredivisie for Ajax too. Not an Ajax product. He was at Heerenveen. That's where he started. Yeah. And then FC Twente was where he went to after Heerenveen.
His pronunciation is just quite phenomenal. Wow, brilliant.
And on to Ajax.
Just speak like that for the rest of the show, if that's all right. If you want to do that.
The entire show.
Yeah, for the entire show. Yeah, yeah. No, possibly not. I think he was great. He was great for Ajax in the 4-4 draw. He was phenomenal. In fact, we were just all saying, wow, wouldn't it be great to have a player like that? And then to read whether it's true or not that Chelsea have been pursuing him for 3 years and getting whether they do this kind of due diligence on players now and finding out about his personality and whether he'll mix and I don't know what he eats and whatever when his what how many assists, all the stats and everything they must pile up now. And it gives the lie to this business of the board not caring about anything and anybody when he revealed that Frank revealed that they've been trying to get him for the January transfer window and it just didn't work out because Ajax wanted to keep him till the summer, which was that with all the Twitterati were throwing their toys out of the pram saying that nobody was the board had cocked it up again. And so after a bit you despair of the whole thing. I mean, I queried even this transfer with Liam Toomey on. He said it's a fait accompli, and I said, surely if we're linked with somebody, we shouldn't be jumping the gun, should we? And he gave me short shrift.
Did he?
Yeah, yeah. By saying no, mate. With that word, mate. Mate is an interesting Twitter word. Does it mean oi, or does it mean friend? But he put no, mate. This is absolutely happening. So it's great. No, I think it's wonderful. I think he's exactly the type of player that Chelsea need. Already established, brilliant number of assists. But once again, it's people were saying, great, we don't now need a striker. What? I'm sorry, where's that come from? They will choose other players that they will attempt to set up for the summer, which is clearly what this transfer window did and has been doing. And it won't be, I'm afraid it won't be Mertens and it won't be Cavani because they'll be 33 and a half, 30, almost 34, won't they, by the time the next season comes around. So people still wanting them to come in. No, it'll be younger, springier models of strikers that can then get their head on these wonderful crosses. And in fact, he crosses the ball beautifully in the same way that Reece James crosses the ball with that kind of whip on it and that fade, which is just phenomenal. So if you've got two of those coming in, my goodness me, that'll be fantastic. So I think this is a terrific signing, really top signing.
And that classic wonder of a left foot, to coin another cliche, of course. Yeah. He went viral, didn't he, last season in that game against Bayern Munich in the Champions League with that diag that was filmed from right behind him, right into his teammates'
path. But he scored the corner as well that went straight into the goal over Kepa's head. It'll be interesting to talk about whether Kepa or Caballero is going to play on Monday.
We will definitely get into that. More as well on Ziyech as well when Dave Chidgey comes on. Just to quickly finish before we move on to how Ziyech is going to fit in to this Chelsea side, lovely, lovely to see the reaction from Ajax here. And you wouldn't have expected anything less. The boss, Erik ten Hag, had spoken before the move was 100% completed. He said, "I've known for a long time what Hakim wants. He has a picture in his mind. He knows exactly which clubs he's finding interesting and which not. Chelsea is a fantastic club. When it's final, I'm happy for him and I'm very proud of it." And a tweet that the club put out yesterday when the news broke, and it just said, "Hey Chelsea, you have to believe in his magic and great things will happen." And then there was just a video of all his great moments. It's what you love to see, isn't it?
Oh, it's fantastic. I'm surprised, though, that one of their top players is almost... Why didn't they try harder to keep him? I suppose he's come to the end of his contract and he said, "I'm not going to renew it."
And part of an acceptance as Ajax, I think.
Yeah, but no, wonderfully gracious. A really gracious thing to be doing. And admitting to his excellence, which just means they've made a completely superb purchase. And I really think hope it stops the idiocy that has that permeated the whole of social media about this, because it has been idiotic beyond belief.
It has been idiotic, but this is a player that is definitely going to be a Chelsea player next season. Looking forward to seeing where he fits in, but where will he fit in? We're going to be discussing that next on the Chelsea Fan Show here on Love Sport.
We've all got one, and we're not afraid to put it on display. Our opinions, that is. Share yours now at Love Sport Radio on Twitter or call us 0208 70 20 558. Love Sport Radio, your fan station.
The Chelsea Fan Show here on Love Sport. And me, Matt Beadle, joined by Jonathan Kidd from the Chelsea Fancast. And I'm delighted to say that we now have Dave Chidgey on the line too. Mr. Chidgey, how are we?
I'm all right, chaps. Better late than never.
Mate, always, always, always good to have you on. Better late than never indeed. We're going to talk a bit of cricket in a moment because I know you two guys are big cricket fans. England planning, hoping to level the T20 series at the moment with South Africa. Just got another wicket there from Chris Jordan. Brilliant bit of bowling from him. We'll give you a bit of breaking news on that. But also, Chidgey, we want to touch on this news regarding Manchester City. Spoke to Kiddo about it before in the first quarter of the show, but City banned for 2 seasons from Champions League football. They've been fined €30 million too. This will have huge implications, pending appeal, of course, but if their appeal is not upheld, this has huge implications for the Premier League.
Absolutely hilarious, Matt.
I literally found out,
I was listening to you lot before this show went on air and I heard it in the news, and I just absolutely laughed my head off. I mean, it's just hilarious. I mean, you know, number one, it's been a long time coming. This is what happens when you get, you know, financial doping with state-sponsored football clubs. Secondly, you know, if they're not playing Champions League football for 2 years, then I can see Pep disappearing, because it gives him a great out to go, doesn't it? Because there's already been rumours that he might, you know, disappear at the end of this season. And of course, it has implications for who gets into the Champions League. Now, you know, we've all been talking about it for the last few weeks, all getting a bit worried about whether we'll finish top four or not. But I would imagine, even if, as Jonathan was quite rightly saying in part one, you know, we know what this is like. You know, we appealed to CAS and we got some of the ban rescinded, and I would expect City will do much the same. But there's a very good chance that they'll miss Champions League football at least next season. So that means that the top, you know, anybody who finishes in the top five will get into the Champions League. So that takes the pressure off us a little bit. So I'm just overjoyed with the news, to be honest.
I thought you might be, Chidge. I thought that might be your reaction. What I like about this story, and I was saying this as you said you were listening earlier on Posh Boys on Drive, I was saying this to Johnny Barrow, in the sense that as football fans, we almost start to lose faith a little bit in the powers that be and the governing bodies about they're clamping down on teams like this. And we saw in 2014, they struck an agreement with Manchester City that they wouldn't be banned, but instead they'd be fined. Now, this just goes to show that with the assistance of Der Spiegel, to an extent, I suppose, with leaking those emails, those alleged internal emails, which City haven't disputed as well from last month, that they are clamping down. They've remained looking into Manchester City. And if there is wrongdoing, they will absolutely expose it. It's so important for the sport and for the fans' perception of the sport.
Well, absolutely. And I mean, I know it sounds unbelievably hypocritical as a Chelsea fan when you think that the way that Roman Abramovich completely changed the ballpark when he came in 2004 and spent all this money. But we know, Jonathan will back me up on this as well, is that you know, for obviously completely selfish reasons and to make it close shop, Chelsea have been very, very fastidious in keeping to FFP. So, you know, they will be delighted that somebody's being called out on it, because, of course, it strengthens their position and also validates it in some way by trying to keep within those rules. And, of course, if you're trying to keep within those rules and people perpetually break them, it puts you at a disadvantage. So, you know, no doubt the club will be delighted as I am, I think, as will many others.
Absolutely. Now, we're going to move on to Chelsea in a minute, but just a quick update from the cricket too. South Africa, 160 for 5 as things stand. Of course, chasing England's total of 204. England need a victory to level the series. It is potentially, you know, will go to a decider in that third T20 clash.
I think England are going to win it now, actually.
Do you think
45
so?
Runs after of three overs.
Well, Chris Jordan just bagged a double, didn't he?
He was
on a hat-trick.
He did, but he's a fantastic death bowler. Chidge, he's wonderful, isn't he, old Jordan,
well,
end of innings.
I feel so... Sorry, go on, mate.
No,
go
no,
on.
Carry on. I'm just saying, I was asking you a question. At the end of innings, I think he's great.
Well, I feel so denied because I was sitting there watching this before I wandered upstairs to be on this call. So I feel really denied that I'm not watching it. I mean, you're right. I mean, what, 18, 17 balls to get 40-odd runs? You've got to say we're favourites for this.
With Wood.
But, I mean, look what happened the other night. They blew it the other night.
They did complete well, because they were batting and the pressure was there.
Yeah.
They've got one. It's just one run here. I just wanted to say about the...
hello, by the way.
Hello, sweetheart. Almost said darling. Just so how theatrical we are. Hello, darling. I just wanted to comment on, once again, on the graciousness of Ajax with...
yes.
How do you pronounce his name again?
Hakim Ziyech.
Hakim Ziyech. When, at the same time, they've been complaining about the referee and asking for some kind of compensation over the Champions League business with the referee making two errors by not sending Daley Blind off for the first foul and letting the game play on, and then Odoi has the shot and it hits the bloke's hand and he prevents the goal and gives the penalty away, so it's two. It becomes two red cards. And I didn't quite understand why UEFA got involved and said it was terrible refereeing, it should never have happened, because to me it made absolute sense, which is that you play on for the first one because Chelsea are in an attacking position, so you don't penalise Chelsea. And it just so happens that the bloke then handles the ball and is sent off and it's a penalty. How is that wrong? Could somebody tell me about this? Somebody ring in and say, who's a referee, saying why that is wrong. I'm sorry, I don't get it. But, but anyway, I just wanted to mention that as well, because at the same time, you know, we've got Ten Hag saying how appalling the decision was, and it's it threw them out of the Champions League, and he's graciously saying how wonderful Hakim what's his name again?
Ziyech
is, and even puts it up on the website, which I thought was a phenomenal piece of understanding. Oops, a six has been hit. Oh dear. Wood has bowled a full toss and Van der Duschen has just hit it over the boundary.
Anyway, talking of Dutchmen.
Yes, Dutchmen. Can I just say, by the way, likely dads, who they all are, likely dads, former Blue Peter presenter Tim Vincent is the host.
Okay.
And the guys on it were comedian Russell Kane, who is just so sharp, it's not true. Another fantastic comedian, Mick Ferry, older guy with a beard, and Sean Hegarty, an Irish guy. And myself offering very, very old
dad
ideas.
What a group of people there. Yeah, I tell you what.
They all play for Ajax.
Well, it's not your first block like that, they would all pay for Ajax.
Speaking
of
decent groups of people, gents, of course, Chelsea FC have a very decent crop of youngsters, a very decent crop of English youngsters. Now, much of the chat post Hakim Ziyech's signing, which will fully come into effect in the summer, is about who he is going to potentially dislodge in the Chelsea team, if anyone. How are things going to look when Hakim Ziyech comes into Chelsea's lineup? Chidi, I'll come to you first.
I don't think he will dislodge anybody, because I think, you know, I think Pedro's absolutely going to go, and I'm beginning to think that Willian might go as well. So he's an ideal replacement for him. And I think the interesting thing about Ziyech, however you want to pronounce his name, I mean, he can play on the right, obviously, and he can play on the left. So it's a perfect kind of signing for Chelsea in a way, because, you know, he's no spring chicken. That has to be said. He's, what, 26, 27? So he should be in the prime of his career. He's got a beautiful, as you said, a wand of a left foot, Matt. But he has that flexibility to play, you know, right across the front three, which I'm really loving. Not to mention his delivery is superb, as we all saw, you know, in the 4-4 when Ajax came to Stamford Bridge. I suspect Kepa's not too happy to see him. He's probably still got a headache from the ball bouncing off his head and going into the net. The only other thing I would add on this, I don't know if Jonathan's seen this, but, you know, Frank, I think, made this point in the presser, didn't he, about the fact that what we need is somebody who can both create and finish off chances. And, you know, Ziyech has got, he's ranking, in a ranking of the top eight European domestic leagues since 2017-18, Ziyech is first for assists and chances created and third for shots taken. It doesn't mention how many goals he's scored, but he's scored over 100 in his career, so he knows how to find the back of the net. I'm really happy with this signing, not least because we've been saying for the last few weeks, don't go and panic buy useless players who then get stuck on your books for God knows how long. You know, wait, be patient, but start doing your business now. Don't wait until, you know, August the 1st or August the 20th before you sign anybody. Get your business sorted out now.
I think they were sorting it out in before.
So they say,
before. But I think they've been looking at him for 3 years, they said. But I actually think that they've done this with several other players as well, you know. I think that's what they used the transfer window for, and they couldn't get them. But it doesn't mean they're going to stop trying to get them. And as you say, there'll be a clear out. You know, we can already work out who the players going are going to be, which we've discussed on the Fancast.
And in terms
good
of
news, JK. Sorry, Matt.
No, you're okay, buddy. In terms of his goals that you mentioned, they got 21 and 17 assists last season. Of course, bagged the Ajax Player of the Year award. He's produced 6 this season, 13 assists. So his statistics speak for himself. We're going to get back to him in a moment, but we do have a caller on the line. Junior has joined us. Junior, I believe you want to talk about that handball in the Ajax game.
I did, yeah. Good evening, James, first of all. I wanted to... I was a bit confused as well when I first saw it. My personal opinion on it was this. I want to put it in a different context. Let's say it was a Chelsea player. Let's say if Abraham committed a second foul, a second yellow card offence, the game played on, there was a counter-attack, and he scored. This was my sort of perception. If he scored, surely he shouldn't technically count, because he should have been sent off. I reckon it shouldn't have been 2 red cards in that game. The game should have stopped there and then. This is where I got a bit confused. And I wanted to see if you're
going to referee them. But it was, if I remember rightly, it was Kovacic who was splatted by Blind.
No, it was. What I'm saying is on a different context. Let's say the player that was supposed to be sent off from the challenge on Kovacic.
Oh, yeah.
Let's say if it played on and the player turned around and he scored. Surely that would have been an even worse situation. But technically, he should be sent off. Even though he played on, there is an advantage. He should not be on the pitch. So let's say he scored 2 minutes on if the game carried on.
Yeah, but
surely there should be a rule where if there is a foul, a second offence or a red card, shouldn't the play stop there and then? So there shouldn't be 2 red cards in one play.
Yeah, no. I hear what you're saying, but he's allowed to give the advantage to the attacking side rather than stop the game. Because Chelsea were in a really good position. I think they were three on one or something.
1,000. I'm just confused as to.
No, great. Thank you. I'm so pleased that you phoned in when I said could somebody phone in, because it's good to debate this, because this is the kind of thing that, you know, I don't understand why UEFA came in with this when to me it seems absolutely perfectly obvious that he played an advantage. And because Chelsea had an advantage, a big advantage, and then somebody commits another foul. So what he does is he punishes two players for two red card offences. So I don't see what the problem is, you know. But whether you've heard me before, I've got a big thing about refs at the moment. I think it's all over the place,
I'm sorry I couldn't give you an answer.
It's really great of you to ring in. Really appreciate it. Fantastic. Thank you, mate.
Lovely stuff, Junior. Top stuff for coming on there to discuss that handball in the Ajax. We're still wondering just what was the right decision in that particular game. Right, we're going to move on, speak about the Manchester United game coming up on Monday. Big, big game in the Champions League race, which, of course, has now been thrown wide open because Manchester City have been banned for 2 seasons from European football. We'll be talking a bit more about that next on the Chelsea Fan Show.
For the fans, by the fans, Love Sport Radio.
The Chelsea Fan Show here on Love Spot. Me, Matt Beadle, with the guys from the Chelsea Fancast, Jonathan Kidd and Dave Chigi. He's so engrossed in his phone that he's forgotten
to say
Kiddo. Unbelievable scenes there from Jonathan Kidd. Quick update from the cricket in Durban. It is 20 runs required for South Africa off 8 balls now. So I tell you what, it is looking very, very tight. I tell you another thing. It looks like you will not fall short of finding some fried chicken in Durban.
Oh, crikey. They've got people dressed as the colonel standing and exhorting people to cheer.
It is so, everywhere you look.
Everywhere
isn't
you
it?
Look. Everywhere you look. Everywhere chicken you look. All over the outfield.
They've got them in a big bucket, haven't they?
They have.
You can win a prize to go and talk to one of the commentators in a big bucket.
Yeah, they're
very
hanging.
Surreal.
They're hanging. Oh, God.
So they've just sliced another for four. They will give you the update as soon as those 8 balls, 7 balls now at 16 required of 7 balls for South Africa, of course, leading this T20 series by 1-0. 3 games in the series, so we'll just see what happens. We'll keep you updated, like I said, on that one. Gents, we're going to move ahead now, though, to the game with Manchester United coming up on Monday. United have won just once in their last 10 visits to Stamford Bridge, Kiddo. You'd like to think that maybe it will be 1-11.
Well, is Rashford still injured?
He is, yes. He will most certainly be out.
Because he won the game individually, solo, practically, with that fantastic free kick, and looked the best player on the pitch for them in the Carabao Cup game. It'd be interesting to see whether the new signing, what's his face?
Odi Ighalo, hasn't been out with the team in Marbella. He's been training. We've seen videos of him on Instagram, on Twitter, doing all of his training. Of course, the fears of coronavirus spreading throughout Manchester United's training camp and the rest of the country. So he's remained, of course, came over from Shanghai Shenhua in China. So understandably, he's been left at Manchester's.
Is he allowed to
Carrington
play?
Training ground.
He's not in quarantine, is he?
He was basically all the measures have been taken. So he's hopefully will perform. And that's why he's been told not to leave the country, because he's already come back into it.
Why did they sign him, though, Matt? What was the reason behind that? Were they just needed to buy somebody to placate fans, or there was somebody missing there? Because he played for Watford and hardly pulled up any trees, did he?
I don't know. I think he did pull up a few trees in his first season in the Premier League, especially in the Championship as well. In terms of placating fans, no, it's not been that, because if you wanted to placate fans, you wouldn't be signing Odi Ighalo.
Indeed.
But listen, it's a 6-month deal until the end of the season. Marcus Rashford is injured. They are struggling up top. They don't want to put all their faith in Mason Greenwood. Of course, Anthony Martial out at the best of times.
Good player, Greenwood. Like
a
him
very,
much.
Very good player. Looks yeah, very, very good player. You don't want to give him potentially too much football, though, and suffer from that burnout. And we've spoken a lot about that this week when you look at the likes of Michael Owen, for example. Of course, maybe too much football, too young, and was never the same player after he pulled his hamstring in that game against Leeds, was he? But Ighalo comes in. He adds a different option. I'm quite excited to see how it works, to be honest. Not in the sense of, oh my gosh, Manchester United have found a gem, but more in the sense of, we do not know what we are going to get with Odi Ighalo. So it's quite exciting.
He won't be as bad as that other United player who came on and was at, or did he play, wasn't it, under Brian Robson? That was the Middlesbrough player, wasn't it? Had he played for United? Was it Southampton? I'm suddenly getting...
You're talking about Ali Dyer for Southampton?
Ali Dyer.
George Weah's cousin.
Yeah, that's right.
Under
that's
Graham
right.
Souness.
That's
no,
right.
You'd like to think you've got better credentials.
Yeah, there was another guy who played for...
Bebe?
That's right, who hardly ever played at all.
He came in for about £7 million, but was something of a damp squib. Not really a Manchester United player at all. Two Manchester United players, though, however, Nemanja Matic and Juan Mata. Matic has found himself back in the reckoning, hasn't he, Chidge? He's back in the Manchester United team. He most likely will play against Chelsea on Monday. Juan Mata there or thereabouts too. Friends reunited. I suppose, bit of an old story.
Do you like what
now.
I
do love it, mate. I love the way that you put these things into context.
Well, it's a funny old thing, isn't it? I mean, I think Liam, bless him, wrote a lovely piece in The Athletic with Simon Johnson about this. And Mata is so fondly remembered at Chelsea. Very, I wouldn't say uniquely. I mean, we're very good with players coming back to the club. But I don't know why, but everybody just had this real affinity and love for Mata that kind of went beyond the normal football thing. I mean, obviously...
He was player of the year, wasn't he, Chidge, for two seasons? And he performed wonderfully. He was a wonderful player.
Well, I mean, there were football reasons. He was a great player, lovely to watch. But, of course, you know, he provided the assist in Munich when when Drogba equalised. Then, of course, missed his penalty in the shootout, it should be said. But the fact of the matter is, you know, for all of his wonderful attributes as a human being and an immense skill on the ball, he's not the quickest player for a midfielder. So, you know, much as I regretted him going, I could see, you know, why he didn't perhaps fit in. And it's been really interesting, actually. I mean, to his eternal credit, I mean, we all laughed when Mourinho turned up at United because, of course, he was his bête noire. Bless his heart, he's outlasted Mourinho, so he's had the last laugh. Matic, on the other hand, again, a player I really love, but and he did all right for us, you know, contributed, you know, manfully to winning a few trophies, but wasn't quite up there, you know. If you think about the midfielders we had, you
doesn't
look at
make
Frank
legendary
Lampard,
status,
SDN,
does
Michael
he? No.
Ballack, people like that. He's not up there with them at all, is he, JK?
No. I'm saying he doesn't make legendary status.
No, like, definitely not.
I think Mata, though, he had a wonderful wand-like foot, though, didn't he, as well, in the same way that what's his name again?
Mason Greenwood. Are you talking about Ryan Giggs?
No. The other
Robin van Persie.
No. The Chelsea player we've just signed.
Hakim Ziyech.
Yes. I've got a block now because you pronounced it so well. Hakim Ziyech. He's supposed to have a wand of a foot, isn't he? And I think Mata had that. But yeah, he wasn't hugely quick. I remember at the time when he was sold, we all went, oh, okay, I suppose it makes sense, doesn't it? That he doesn't quite fit in the team. And we went on to win the title that year. So there was a kind of inevitability about it, wasn't there? So you accepted Mourinho's decision because he was still had a great reputation amongst Chelsea fans and achieved it his usual status by winning the title at the end of the year. So but yeah, you're right. I don't know, there was an affection for him because he was always his personality seemed to radiate that, whereas Matic is a bit more steely, if you like, a bit more sturdy, and but we had affection for Matic, but yeah. I didn't feel that he when he was when sidelined by Conte, there was a kind of, and his keenness to get to United put us off a little bit, wasn't it? We felt that he wanted to get out of the club. We don't really know what went on. I don't know how you evaluate that as watching a player. Some player you embrace, you know. I love Mickey Thomas. I embraced him because of his effort, and yet at the end of the season he went. I've no idea why he went, whether he wanted to transfer or whatever, but something about a player you just love their effort, you love their personality in a way, and Matic is a bit less cuddly, if you like. I don't quite know what the answer is. His style, you know, his abilities. He didn't have the same pass as Mata had. Mata had a wonderful ability to set players up. Matic is much more of a tackler and a destroyer, really, because he played in a different position, you know. So
he is indeed. A quick update from Durban. It is all happening. South Africa now need 3 runs off 2 balls. It is Tom Curran who is bowling this final over for England. I tell you what, Dwayne Pretorius is pulling out all the stops here. There was a very, very close decision that went to the third umpire. It looked like Pretorius might have been run out as South Africa desperately stretched for 2. They managed it. Tom Curran now stepping up. 2 balls left for England here, delivered by Tom Curran. We'll keep you up to date as to what happens. Tom Curran stepping up now, and it looks like it is a wicket.
It's a wicket.
It is. Oh-ho! England have got a wicket there. Lovely stuff. So that looks like it could well very nearly be over. So close for England now. South Africa requiring 3 runs off just 1 ball. Van der Dussen is disputing that call. So that we might see that one go to review as well, kiddo. This is the Chelsea Fan Show here on Love Sport. Back in a sec.
Giving your team a voice. Love Sport Radio. The Opposition View on Love Sport.
It's the Chelsea Fan Show here on Love Sport. Soon to be moving into an opposition view, we have Ben Parsons, writer for StrettyNews.com, on the line. Now, we left you with what appeared to be an England wicket in their clash, their T20 clash with South Africa. It did go to review. It has been given now. Dwayne Pretorius has been given out. So South Africa requiring 3 runs off 1 ball. That will be Tom Curran to deliver that ball. Fortuitously now coming to the crease, so we'll keep you updated as that happens. I imagine it'll be a couple of minutes or
so. Exciting.
Very, very exciting. It's all happening. Of course, Manchester City as well, banned for 2 years from European club competition. They've been found to have committed serious breaches of UEFA's club licensing and financial fair play regulations. They've also been fined €30 million. It throws the Champions League chase wide, wide open in the Premier League. Right now, we're going to quickly get some reaction from Ben Parsons, writer for StrettyNews.com. Hello, Ben.
Hi, how are you doing?
Yeah, good, thank you, buddy. Thanks for coming on the line this evening. Plenty going on, mate. City banned from 2 years from Europe. England about to win, hopefully, the second T20 clash with South Africa. And Manchester United travelling to Stamford Bridge on Monday.
Yeah, I was just going to mention how much of a big game it is for the top four, but now it looks like it's going to be a big game to try and get into the top five. It looks like, obviously, Sheffield United's chances of a Champions League place have just gone up a notch tonight as well, and Arsenal will be interested.
It's just huge, isn't it, mate? The implications that this will have. And the team, the boys have been out in Marbella, of course. Odion Ighalo has been at home. He's the name on everybody's lips. Is he going to start? Is he not going to start? What do you think?
Is he any good?
I think Solskjaer's mentioned that he'll be travelling with the players. I'd be very surprised if he can get in ahead of Martial and Greenwood. He's obviously had no time to be integrated with the squad because he's been quarantined. But I think he's just going to be a bit of a bit part player. I can't see him starting in such a big game when we haven't seen anything of him. I think I'd more like to see him in the Europa League against Bruges next week, really.
Is he in because Rashford's injury is quite serious? Is that the reason?
Is that I think one... it's got to be, hasn't it? Yeah. I mean, you look at... We went through so many players trying to sign in January. We saw Josh King and you saw, obviously, Haaland, who obviously would have been a great signing, but we've ended up with a ex-Watford striker who hasn't played in the Premier League for 3 years. I'm not sure he can really do the business against Chelsea, but we'll have to see.
I think Rashford was having a wonderful season. The goal he scored in the Carabao Cup from the free kick was absolutely fantastic. Did you go to the game? Were you at the Bridge that night? Or did you watch on the telly, I presume?
Yeah, I wasn't at the Bridge last night, but that was a magical goal, wasn't it? I think the difference in the two games we've played Chelsea this season has probably been Rashford. He scored 2 at Old Trafford on the opening day. Yeah. And then obviously that free kick then. But I think we lose our biggest threat without him. And I think Chelsea will fancy their chances, even though we've beaten them twice this season.
And I think the opening game was a kind of a game of exploration, wasn't it, for both teams? Because I think you thought that was it. Your season was going to be fantastic because of that great display. But at the same time, Chelsea had a few chances and were undone on the break. And so we took a lot of hope from that, which I think was then proven by the way that we played over the next couple of months, which was with the similar kind of attacking style and crisp passing that has actually been escaping Chelsea recently. So I'm looking forward to it. I think it'll be a really good game, actually, because it means a lot. I think it will open up. I mean, people have been saying that'll be it. You know, Chelsea will be in the top four. I think the season is still unravelling. I think there'll be lots and lots of different results going on. I think everybody will. I don't think there'll be any consistency because I just think that's the way it is. I think either side could lose on Monday and still finish above each other. I think, or even finish above possibly even City. I just think, or even Leicester. I just think it's all to play for. Even how many games did it go? 13 at the moment, aren't there? I still think it's too early to predict because people are saying, oh, that's it. If Chelsea beat United, there'll be a bummer. I don't think so at all. I think it'll go down to, as with last season, I think some teams will have dreadful runs. And I know you mentioned Arsenal there earlier about getting into the top six. I'm not convinced they will at all. And they keep saying that Arteta somehow is getting their mojo back. But I'm not convinced. I think they've blown it for the thing. They've blown it. I'm contradicting myself here to an extent. But I just think that Sheffield United are the team to watch for the moment because nobody can work out their system. It's quite remarkable, actually.
Ben, I just want to touch on Bruno Fernandes and what your opinion is on this signing and the fact that it seems to be the case that with a lot of Manchester United fans, Ole goes and signs Bruno, or Ed signs Bruno, whoever signed Bruno, means that Manchester United will now be bona fide Champions League contenders. But we need to all just calm down a little bit, right? We need to all calm down. Bruno Fernandes isn't going to suddenly turn Manchester United fortunes around. There's a danger here that if fans aren't patient, it could all go wrong.
Oh, absolutely. Don't get me wrong. I think Fernandes is a brilliant signing, but we saw against Wolves in the 0-0 draw, we didn't really look that much more creative with him in the side. I think, obviously, a lot of that's got to do with Solskjaer, but he still hasn't got the players around him he needs. We see in the summer, we're getting linked with Grealish and Maddison. I think he needs another attacking midfielder around him that he can play off to improve. But I do hope he can be the difference at the Bridge on Monday.
What were his strengths? Having watched him, what are his strengths, Fernandes? Is he speedy? Is he very creative? Is he got a good tackle? What's it about him that makes him a special player?
I think it's just how tidy he is on the ball. I think United fans have been so used to week in, week out seeing Andreas Pereira and Jesse Lingard, who I think will probably be on the bench now against Monday. You just, in transition and attack, losing the ball so easily, doesn't give us the opportunity to go forward, and suddenly we're on the back foot again. With Fernandes, he provides some continuity, some maturity, keeps the ball, and that's so important.
Ben, it's Chidge here. Last time United turned up at the Bridge when you beat us in the Carabao Cup final, I mean, basically you parked the bus and then sucker punched us on the counter attack. Do you think Ollie will try and do the same again?
Oh yeah, I think he'll set up with five at the back again. I can't see it going any different. I think it'll be a bit of cat and mouse, really. I don't think, obviously, Chelsea might be a little bit low on confidence about winning the last three games, but I think it'll just be whoever can get that goal first and then sit back on it and hope to break.
Okay, Ben, I've got to push you, mate. You've come on the show. You've spoken quite candidly about Manchester United. What is your prediction for Monday?
Probably going to be a bit unpopular with Chelsea fans here, but I'm going to go for a 1-0 away win, park the bus and a 1-0 win.
Lovely stuff. Ben Parsons, thank you very much for joining us. Stretinews.com there. Quick update from the cricket again, gents. Tom Curran, he has been successful. Decent slower ball, which he tried a couple of times in that final over. Bjorn Fortuin tried to do the old classic flick to the old short final. It didn't work out on that occasion. Adil Rashid catching him. England winning on that occasion. It is one apiece in the T20 series. It's going to go to a decider. So exciting stuff there, kiddo.
I'm looking forward to that.
I bet you are. Are you looking forward to Monday? What's your verdict on the game?
I think we'll win 2-1. Mind you, it's very difficult to ever say you'll lose because you come across as a miserable so-and-so, don't you, if you say, oh, no, I think the team are going to lose, sorry. So it will always say, but I suppose you could say it was a draw, but I really do actually think we'll win. Yeah.
Okay, I think it's six teams that are separating the team, Gigi, as things stand. There is this perception that United have almost been a bit of a bogey side to an extent with Chelsea, but it's not really accurate, is it? Like I said,
well,
one win in ten.
This season they have, because obviously we got thumped 4-0 and we lost 2-1 in the Carabao Cup, as I said, but generally no. I mean, we've got one of the best records against United, I think, in the Premier League. And as you said earlier on, I mean, we've only lost once to them at home in the last 10 matches or something.
That's right.
I think it'll be, you know, I do worry that, you know, as Jonathan will no doubt agree with, we've struggled against teams that have basically parked the bus at Stamford Bridge. We find it really hard to break them down. And as I said, we were sucker punched in the Carabao Cup. So I hope we've learned our lesson. I think an early goal for us will go a long way to helping us win. And I do think I do think we'll win. I think 2-1, but I wouldn't be surprised if it was a draw. I never ever predict Chelsea losing, as you know.
There we go. Okay, gents. So we've got couple of predictions there. Yeah, principles, always the same. Chidgey, thank you very much for joining us, buddy.
Pleasure.
We will catch you. You'll be on Weekend Breakfast, of course. So
tomorrow
we'll see
morning.
You then tomorrow
nice
morning.
And
nice and early for Dave Chidgey. Make sure you tune into him on Weekend Breakfast with Paul Mortimer.
Well
that
done,
will be
Chidge.
From 8 a.m. here on Love Sport Radio. Kiddo, it's been nothing but a pleasure.
Is that good? Oh, yeah, nothing but a pleasure.
Nothing but a pleasure.
Let me analyse that. Yeah, thanks very much. That's good. Yeah, I've got it now. Yeah, thank you. Vice versa.
Lovely stuff. Okay, the Chelsea Fan Show will return next Friday. We'll be reflecting on that game with Manchester United. Catch us then.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.